Moments, if you have a Bible, let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And of course, all that was very enjoyable, kids. That was a blessing, amen, and edifying as well. And I'll be brief here tonight, not just by choice, but I have to be. I'll be honest with you. I'm not feeling the best, but we're going to look at just one verse of Scripture. Some of you don't need to even turn to it. A lot of you can quote the verse. John 3:16 is what we're going to speak on tonight. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's ask a blessing on the message. Brother Allen, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Amen. There's some things that are spoken of here. And keep in mind, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some things just to point out here. There's a lot in the verse. One, that it's revealed the deity of Christ. And by deity, we're talking about the fact that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He was the Lord in a human body. And here he refers to himself as God's only begotten Son. And to be God's son, the New Testament declares that means he is equal with God the Father. And then second of all, not only his deity, it speaks of his humanity. Jesus referring to himself again as God's only begotten son, as he was not the begotten God. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. He was not made God. He was God made man. And that's what the Scripture shows us, the process of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among men. As John said, he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so him taking upon himself a physical fleshly body, revealing the Godhead in body, is Christ our Lord. And he came to declare the Father. Then third, also what is expressed is the compassion of God. Jesus uses the phrase, so loved, so loved. And that shows a divine pity that he had for us, because we need to be saved. And so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In great pity and his desire to see us saved, he sent his Son, the Word made flesh, to make the sacrifice. And that brings us to the fourth thing that the Scripture shows there in that one verse, the sacrifice of Christ. As it says, he gave his only begotten Son. And this is supposed to be what is revealed in our exchanging of gifts this time of year. And I don't know how many even think about that as they exchange gifts, but for sure no one gives like he gave. God the Father gave his Son. And Jesus, the Bible says, gave himself. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So no one gave like he gave, amen. And then fifth, there's the sinfulness of man implied in this one verse, with the word that is used meaning perish, meaning the wages of sin is death. Our physical life, it has a clock to it. There'll be an end to it. You had a beginning, you'll have an end. Amen. And just as sure as we've all sinned, we will all die. The wages of sin is death. And six, also implied in this verse, which again are the words of Christ, is the threat of eternal damnation. Again, the word that is used is perish. But there is more to you than just your physical body. There is more than just your physical life. We are all obviously more than a physical body. We have a soul, and that soul is going to be somewhere forever. And so for those who die without Christ, just as the body dies, testifying to sin, the soul that sinneth it shall die, the scripture says. And it speaks of perishing there, which is defined in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and verse 15, as the second death. And Jesus also spoke to this fate, as he describes it as eternal torment and everlasting destruction. Seventh, what is implied in John 3:16 is the simplicity of salvation. Thank God it's simple. Amen. He used the word believeth. Amen. That, of course, is not merely speaking of an honest acceptance of the reality of Jesus as the Christ and a historical figure. Obviously, amen, anyone should know that much. But to believe on Christ is a matter of trust. To believe on who He is and to believe on what He did for us at the cross for our redemption when He gave His precious blood and bore our sins in His own body, amen, and then was risen again because it was not possible that death could hold Him. And now He's seated at the right hand of God as the Savior forevermore. Then eighth, the words of Christ in John 3:16 show us the scope of this salvation. He said, "For God so loved the world." Who can be saved? Anyone can be saved. Anyone in the whole wide world. He said, "Whosoever, friend," and that means you. When Christ died, He died for you. When He paid for sins, it was your sins He paid for. He paid for us all. Then ninth, this brings me to this ninth thing implied in these words, and that is, again, the word believeth, showing the importance of faith. It's a remarkable display of the grace of God, is it not? That you don't have to do anything to save yourself. As a matter of fact, there's nothing you can do to bring about salvation for yourself. All we can do is trust. All we can do is believe. I mean, man is lost. Christ pays the debt by His death and blood. And then God invites the sinner. Whosoever will, anyone, everyone can come. Amen. And then you know what some people will say? They'll say, "Well, what if some people don't believe in Jesus? What if some people are of another religion and they don't want to believe in Jesus?" See, no matter what, you're always going to have that crowd that wants to find something wrong with God and all this. And young people, here's the bottom line. God wasn't wrong. We were. We're all sinners in this matter. We're the guilty here. And God sent His Son, and His Son came willingly to save us from our sins and from the consequences of our sins. God is not the one that can be charged in any of this. He's the offended party. We're the offenders. We sinned against the Lord. He owed us nothing. And yet by His grace, He paid everything. Why? We're told here in the words of Christ, because He so loved the world. Amen. And then tenth, something else that's declared in Christ's simple statement. It defines salvation, which is to be given everlasting life. Showing that while we're in an unsaved state, just as Ephesians 2 declares, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We are cut off. We are separated from God. But the moment we become willing and we respond to the gospel by believing on Christ, the Bible says we are regenerated and quickened and raised up with Christ, and we are given life. And the life that we're given is everlasting life. From our experience and from God's view, it is eternal life. You say, "Well, aren't they the same thing?" Yeah, they're the same thing, but they're worded differently to show you two different aspects of the same truth. One, everlasting means without end. It is life without end. It is everlasting life. Eternal life means it has no beginning and no end. And so from our experience, it had a beginning. Amen? I was dead. I was dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." It had a beginning with me. There was a moment I was lost and headed for hell. And when I believed on Christ, I was saved by the grace of God. And now I'm on my way to heaven. A miracle happened when I believed simply on the Lord Jesus Christ. The life we received when we trusted Him is His life. Amen. It had a beginning with me, everlasting life. but there's no beginning with God. From forever to forever, that's our Lord, and He gave me that life, which is Christ Himself. The great gift we have from God is everlasting life. It is His only begotten Son within by the Spirit of God. See, He's within me physically. Now He's within my body. According to Scripture, I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. But He physically is not within, in that He's physically seated at the right hand of God the Father, the man Christ Jesus, but spiritually He dwells within because I was spiritually quickened. He came down 2,000 years ago and dwelt among men physically and accomplished our redemption, that now He might indwell us spiritually. And He does this by the same Spirit by which He offered Himself to God without spot, without blemish, when He died on the cross. And when I was born again, I was born of that same Spirit. And now He's in me. The Lord became man. And listen, it's ironic. It's ironic. It happened. It seems contradictory. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says He suffered such contradiction against Himself. But it says it behooved Him to do this. Meaning He knew something had to happen. Someone had to do something. And there was only one who could. There was only one that could die for all sin. There was only one worthy enough to redeem us. There was only one that can meet the standard of God. And guess who it is? It's God. God made man. We needed a man who could and would stand for us all by getting in the gap and suffering once for all. And only one could. And the good news is that one did. Amen. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Bible says that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Again, ironic. The Creator came into His creation. God the Spirit was made flesh and entered into creation. He came into the world. The world was made by Him, and yet it says the world knew Him not. He is life, and yet He died. He died for all. He came down so that we can go up. He's the King, and yet He became the servant. Prophesied in Old Testament Scripture. He is and was the Lord, and yet He became marvelously a man. Righteousness incarnate in the flesh, and yet the Scripture says He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You know, that's ironic. That word oxymoron. Well, what it means, oxymoron means it means sharp and dull. That's what it means. It sounds contradictory, you know, like freezer burn. That's contradictory. Plastic silverware. Sanitary landfill. White chocolate. Professional wrestling. Airline food. God is a Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And yet He who made all things was made, the Bible says, flesh. He who made everything was made lower than the angels, that He might by the grace of God taste death for every man. He came down unto His own creation, the Almighty, in the weakness of a newborn. The bright morning star, the light of the world, came into the darkness of night. And there was, as He was born, all the gifts they brought Him, one of the gifts they brought Him was myrrh. And myrrh is something associated with the preparation of a burial. It's associated with death. And He was given this at His birth. You know why? Because of His mission. His mission was to save. He was born to die. And after 33 and a half years of living a sinless life, that is exactly what He did. And He did it for us all. He died in our stead. He paid for our sins. He came as a living invitation from God to say, come unto me. All. Come all. And yet when He came, what was He met with? The Bible says immediately, there was no room. There was no room. Here's the Lord making room. He sent the door of heaven into the world and said, come. And the world had no room for Him. Don't make that mistake tonight. Amen. Find room tonight for the Lord who loved you enough that he died for the worst part of you. He died for your sins so that he might save you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he goes on to say, again, Jesus speaking, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And he says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Meaning they choose darkness over the light. I know everybody wants to make this message a child's message. You know, this is for the kiddies. But you don't get to do that. You're sitting in a church full of adults right now. You got some folks, you know, throughout this world, they've got money. God's blessed them with money, and they've believed on Christ. And you got some folks that are poor as Job's turkey, and they believed on Christ. You got white folks, black folks, yellow folks, red folks, real smart educated folks, and folks that ain't got any education at all. This ain't cultural, folks. It's all over the world. Why? Because we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. And he came as the expression of God's love for us all. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love of God. And if you reject Christ, who is God's word, if you reject him, you're rejecting the expression of mercy. You're rejecting the expression of love. You're rejecting the expression of light and life and grace. And if you won't want to hear about Jesus, God has nothing else to say to you. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I know there's a lot of confusion in religion, but that's religion. We're not even talking about that. We're just simply stating the fact according to the Word of God. The whole world is divided up by where they stand with Jesus Christ. And he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God doesn't have life. And you must be born again. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And I want to ask you to stand, if you would, please. And here we are. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Miss Robin's coming to the piano. And we're going to have an invitation. And we're going to invite you. If you need to come and trust Christ tonight. You want to be saved. You want this to be the night you get saved. If you're willing, he's willing. Listen to me. That's it right there. If you're willing, he's willing. And tonight could be your night. If you'll choose him. You got any questions? There'll be somebody with a Bible. They'll help you. All right? Be glad to pray with you. We are for you. We're in your corner. We want you to be saved. We've all been right where you're at. And we want you to be saved. The Lord wants you to be saved. Here's the issue. Do you want to be saved? If you want him, he wants you, I promise. Father, bless your word.